Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and we want to hear your word to us. We want to be inspired, we want to be encouraged, and we want to be challenged, Lord. We want to be people who stand for you. We want to be people who know you. We want to be people who have an impact in this world because of who you are and what you've done in our lives. So, Lord, we pray you give us ears to hear now what it is you want to say. Lord, I pray you make my words clear so that people can understand. And Lord, I pray in this moment it will be holy as we encounter you through your word. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So this series that we're currently in, we're now into week six of this current series, looking at robes of righteousness. We've been looking at identity, about who it is that we are in God. We looked at covenant and the covenant relationship that we are under as people who are children of God. We've looked at how we have authority, a priest and a king. We've looked at how we have the power of God in our lives to make an impact. And last week we looked at the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment and how the hem of his garment represented in the scriptures about there's healing in his wings and how she knew that when the Son of Righteousness rose, when he came, there was healing. And so she reaches out to touch the hem of his garment as a symbol and a sign that she recognizes that he was the Messiah. He was the one who was going to come. But how, as Christians, as people who are in Christ, we are covered with his identity and we have his power, we have his authority to impact this world around us. We've been using the Jewish prayer shawl as our kind of symbol to help us in our thinking about how this represented for the Jewish people the law. It represented in the corners, the tassels represented his power and his authority. It represented nobility and priesthood. The blue dye again represented nobility and priesthood, and how all the people in Israel were required by God in Numbers and Deuteronomy. It says about how they were all required to have blue dye or purple dye and tassels on the corners of their robes to show that the whole people of God were kings and priests with the power and authority of God in their lives. They were covered by the righteousness that God offered them. And we are, as Christians, metaphorically covered with a robe of righteousness. As it says in Isaiah 61, it says, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in robes of righteousness. I've been saying about how we need to take off our old identity, our old clothes, those things that sort of mark us and shape us, and say, actually, I have a new identity. I am a new person in Christ. In him, I find an identity which says that I am right with God and that I have power and authority in this world. So last week, we were in Luke 8, looking at the woman touching the hem of Jesus' garment. And straight after that, we go into Luke chapter 9. And after Jesus has been demonstrating signs and wonders, miracles and teaching, as you go into Luke 9, we see it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority. We talked about that last week, about how we have power and authority. He gives it to us. It's his power and it's his authority. It's not ours. It's his. But he says that he gives it to us to have power and authority to drive out demons and to curse diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, to us have to preach and declare and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. I mentioned this a few weeks ago in our offhand comments about how when Jesus sends out the disciples, he says to them, you have power and authority, but he says this, take no extra shirt for the journey. Or it says in older translations, take no extra cloak. We've been talking about this cloak that we wear. Jesus is saying, when you go out, you go out in one identity. Not in several identities, you go out in one identity. As you go into life, as a Christian, you walk into things, you don't go, well, I'm now with these people, so I'll put on this identity. I'm now in my workplace, I'll put on this identity. I'm now with these people, so I'll put this identity on. He's saying, when you go out, with power and authority. You can only have that power and authority when you're someone who's wearing just the one cloak, just the one identity. And so there's one cloak, one identity, and one influence. Jesus is saying, if you want to have power and authority, if you want to be someone who makes an impact in this world, if you want to say, where there is darkness, I want there to be light. Where I see there's a need for healing, we want to proclaim that there is the wholeness of God, there is the shalom, the peace of God in those situations. If you want to have the power and authority to start ministering in that, you've got to have one identity. You're a child of God, and that's where your power and authority come from. It's not, I'm now at church, so I put on my Christian identity today, and I'm going to worship Jesus, but actually on Monday morning, I'm swearing at my boss, or actually I'm getting really, really angry and frustrated with the people around me. But when I'm in church, I'm all happy and fine. And now I'm back at work, and everything's not so great. It's a cloak of saying, I wear who I am in Christ wherever I go. Whether I'm in church, whether I'm in work, whether I'm talking to my neighbor, whether I'm talking to my friend, whether I'm serving, whatever I'm doing, you take that one identity with you. I am a child of God. And when you walk into whichever situation you go into and you know who you are in God, you know you're a child of God under his covenant promise, it starts changing the way that you see the world around you. Because suddenly, the influence in any situation is the influence of God in you, working through you to bring influence to the people around you, rather than the world influencing you to tell you what robe you should wear. Take one identity with you. I've told you a story before about a girl called Laura. This came back a few years ago now. And she was, she'd moved to a new place, and she was in a school, and she had basically no friends. And she was really down, and she was really upset, and she was just really, not doing well at all. And she came home from school one day, and she said to her parents, this is just so hard. I can't do this anymore. I can't go to school anymore. It's so hard being in this new school, this new place, this new location. And her parents said to her, well, why don't you pray about it? And the next day, she made a choice that she was going to go to school, not in her identity, but going, I'm going to go to school for Jesus. I'm going to do this for him. And by the end of the week, she had made all her new friends. And the result of that was that her friends started asking her about what was different about her. What was it about her that meant that she was so different? What was the identity that she had that was so strange? And as they asked questions about it, there was a need for them to know more. And so they set up a youth group for these kids to come to learn more about who Jesus was and what it was that this girl had in her. And the result of that was that the parents went, well, we want to know a bit more about this. We want to know what's going on with all this. And it meant that actually they ended up planting a church because actually there was a need for these parents to know. And a church was planted in Gloucester a few years ago because one girl made a decision one day that she was going to wear the cloak of who she was in Christ rather than going there in her own strength and her own abilities. She went, I'm doing this for Jesus. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for Jesus. And it has an impact on the world around you when you start living and say, I'm doing this for Jesus. It doesn't mean to say it's easy. It doesn't make it all fine suddenly. Life's still difficult and hard, but suddenly your mentality changes because you're knowing that God is bigger than that situation. That God can work in this situation. So when you start wearing one identity, it starts having power. Your life starts having power. It's when we leave church on Sunday morning and we get back to our old ways. We go, that was fine Sunday morning. I was all happy and great. And now I'm back into reality and actually I'm just going to go back to how I've always been. That's not honoring to Jesus because we're saying, actually, it's fine there but not here. Is Jesus enough wherever we are, in whatever circumstance we're in? Is he enough? Will he be the influence in our lives? See, because when you are around people, there is influence taking place all the time. And you've got to ask yourself, what are you being influenced by? Are you being influenced by Jesus and therefore you're an influence in a situation, or are you letting a situation influence you? That when I'm at work, people moan and whinge about stuff, and I get caught up in that, and I become a bit of a gossip, and I become a bit of a whinge. Or I'm talking to my next-door neighbour, and actually they start going on about something. Or even when I'm in church, and someone starts going, oh, I didn't like that in church on Sunday morning. I mean, you go, oh, I know, I didn't like that. It's like, no, no. What are you going to let influence you? People or God? That's the question. Because only when you make that decision in your mind, am I going to wear a cloak of righteousness, or am I going to wear the clothes I've always worn, the old clothes I've always worn? It's just about what's going to influence me, man or God? What are you going to wear in whichever situation you go into? So as we go into the scriptures, I want us to look at the story of David. The story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. A story that if you've been around in church a while, you might have heard, if you've been in Sunday school in the past, you might have heard of it. If you haven't, basically it's a story where David is a person who's called an Israelite, and part of the nation of Israel, which God has promised to these special people of God. And there's some guys called the Philistines, they're the baddies in the story, and they come and try and have a bit of a war and a fight with the Israelites. And they've got this champion called Goliath, who's this huge giant. It says in the scriptures that he's basically kind of, he's 10 foot tall, or about 3 meters tall. Pretty massive. And in those days, if you're going to have a fight, a battle, you might choose a champion to fight on your behalf. So run the whole army fighting each other, you'd pick a champion to fight for you in a situation. And the Philistines had Goliath, who was a massive guy, armed to the teeth with everything, the latest gadgets and gizmos. And then you've got the Israelites who are there going, we're really scared. And David's a shepherd boy who's told by his dad to go and check on his brothers and take them some food. So David leaves the fields of sheep, goes and checks out his brothers who are on the battlefield and says, what's going on? And as he's there, Goliath comes forward and brings his challenge that he's bringing every single day and saying, who's going to fight me? Who's going to take me on? Who's going to come and challenge me? Intimidating them all the time. And all the Israelites are going, I can't possibly do this. Oh, it's all scary and horrible. And David goes, what's the problem? He's like, who's going to fight him? Who's going to sort this out? He's like, but we're the people of God. We've got God on our side. He has no right to be coming against us. And so the king hears of this. The king hears of David saying, who is this person who's going to come against us? And David basically says, I'll go fight him. This naive young little boy goes, I'll fight him. I'll take him on. Because actually, if he's the enemy of us, he's the enemy of God. And therefore, he has no right to fight us. I'll take him on. And in the story, what happens is Saul says, who's the king, Saul the king at the time, says, okay, if you're going to go out and fight him, here, have my tunic, have my armor, have all the stuff, all the equipment you might need. And David puts on all this armor, he puts on this tunic, he puts on this stuff, and he goes, I can't fight in this. It's clunky, it's heavy, it doesn't work for me, it's not how I do battle, that's not how I do stuff. So he takes it all off, and he goes out in just his ordinary cloak, a sling, and a staff. And he goes out to try and fight Goliath. And Goliath mocks him and says, you come at me with a stick and a sling? It's like, what am I, a dog? And he's like, but what you don't see, Goliath, is that I come against you in the name of the Lord. And his armies are on my side. See, David knew lots of things here. We're going to go through them and just look at some of these things that David knew. If you go to the next slide. The first one was this. David had an authentic, simple identity. He had one cloak. When Saul tried to put on him a new tunic, something else for the battle, he went, it doesn't fit me. It's not me. That's not who I am. And becoming a Christian is giving up self to follow Jesus. But in doing that, you become more the person you were made to be in the first place. It's not that you suddenly become this drastically different person. Yes, your behavior might change. Yes, the way you do things might change. Yes, what you're living for might change. But when you start doing that, you become more you. You become more the person you were made to be in the first place. And David understands the simplicity of being authentic, just being him. He goes out with what he knows, with a sling and a staff. He's not trying to be someone different. And the danger as human beings is we're always going, I've got to face this particular challenge. And I go, What tool can I use in this situation? What armor can I find to put on me to basically to block out and numb the pain? Because armor blocks. It blocks things out. Sometimes other people put things on us that numb us to the world. Sometimes we choose to put things on, an ill-fitting cloak, an ill-fitting tunic, an ill-fitting armor. But actually God says, no. It's not about trying to look great. It's not about trying to have the latest gadgets and gizmos. It says the power comes when you start being just you. When you start being you in him, wearing just your simple tunic, the simple robes he's given you, the simple identity he's given you, when you start being just you, that's when there's power. That's when there's authority. It's not when you're suddenly a special holy Christian. It's not when suddenly you're a minister of a church. It's not suddenly when you've been a Christian for 40 years and suddenly you are seen as being wise in the faith. It's not that. It's saying what you learn as you go on as a disciple of Jesus, it's not about trying to be someone different. It's about trying to be more you with him at the center of your life. It's not trying to put on someone else's armor. It's not trying to aspire to be that person. It's trying to aspire to be who God's made you to be. But we only do that when we start living authentic lives. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Sharing, being honest with each other. Sharing of ourselves. Being honest about what's holding us back in our lives. Being honest about the things that are difficult in our lives. Being real with one another. Not putting on a face of, it's Sunday morning, I'm fine today, woohoo! And then it's Monday morning, you're going, actually, I'm really not okay. Like, church is the one place where you should be not okay. Because like that, we're real. We're real, we're authentic. And I always say, if you can't cry in church, where can you cry? Because this is what it's for. A safe place where we can do business before us and God and be honest and real about who we are. So if you want to start releasing more power in your life and more authority in your life, start being more real. Start being more authentic. Start getting into that simple identity of being a child of God. It's the first thing David knew. He didn't try to put on someone else's armor. He went out as himself. He holds the story of faith. He says, why are we scared? God's promised us this land. God's promised that he's with us. God's promised that he's for us and not against us. So why are we scared of the enemy? Why are we terrified of this enemy? Because he has no right to be here because God's for us. He's confident in the story of God. He understands the story. He understands what's being asked of the people of God, which is to be a people who stand with the power and authority of God into the world. He's saying, when the enemy tries to come against you, it's going, well, no. The story is that we are the people of God, and this person and this enemy has no right against us. He's aware of the story. So I'm going to share a little idea with you about the thought about Saul. So Saul was appointed king when the people of Israel say, we want a king. All the other nations of the world have got a king. And God says, well, I'm your king. I'm the one you worship. I'm the one that, you know, leads you. I said, no. And what I actually say in the scriptures is, we want a king to lead us into battle. And God's been going, that's what I've been doing. I've been the king leading you into battle. And they go, no. We want a king who's going to lead us into battle. So they appoint Saul, who looks great. He's muscly. He's big. He's fantastic. He's handsome. He's got it going on. He's fantastic. And he becomes their king to lead them into battle. And that we see here in this story, he's not leading you into battle at all. He's being a coward. He's hiding behind the enemy lines going, who's going to fight him? He's not doing that. David, who we told in the Bible, it has a heart after God. What he recognizes when he gets to the battlefield is going, well, it's God who fights for us. It's God who goes before me in this situation. It's not me doing it. And the reason why David is such a successful king in battle and taking territory and ground is because he knows that it's not him as the king leading them into battle. It's God leading them into battle. Whereas Saul thought he was leading them into battle. See, and if you're going to do some business and you're going to do some battling, you've got to know that God goes before you. It's not about someone else going before you. Sometimes people say to me, can you pray for me, Pete? And it's like, I can do. But somehow I think that because I'm the vicar, I have more power than other someone else to pray. It's going, I don't at all. It's like, I'm just as bad as everyone else. I pray for people and kind of go, let's hope something happens. We're all just the same. just you have a special title doesn't mean anything, because for all of us it's the same. It's God who goes before us. It's God who goes before us. You see, and so David understands his position in the story of God. He understands the history of the story. And he lives that story. And in the Bible, it talks about how we are sent out by Jesus, as we looked at that story from Luke. And we have in the Bible, later in the Matthew, the Great Commission, the co-mission. It's not a command, it's a co-mission. We're doing it as co-people with God. It's not us going to do it to save the world, it's God saving the world, and he's using us to be involved. It's us joining in with his story and recognizing what the story is about. And that releases power when we understand the story of God. But there's also the power of testimony taking place here. Because David says, when Saul asked him, why are you going to go up against David? Why are you going to go up against Goliath? What skills have you got? You're just a shepherd boy. And he says, well, when a lion came and snatched away one of my sheep, I went after him. Imagine that. I always read the story in the past, and kind of like sort of saw David, you know, a lion comes and David sort of, you know, scares him off. But he says, no, when a lion came and stole my sheep, I went after the lion. I wouldn't be doing that. I'd be like going, oh, the lion's gone, phew. I went after the lion, and I beat the lion, and I brought the sheep back. And when a bear came and did the same thing, I went after the bear, and I beat the bear, and I fought the bear. And he says, if God was with me in that situation, he'll be with me in this situation. It's no different. Someone who wants to come and steal sheep from the flock. Think about Jesus, and talks about how we are the sheep of his pasture. When someone comes to try and steal sheep from the flock, it's like, no, you have power and authority to go and take that back. David's like, God's with me in that situation. He'll be with me in this situation. It says in Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb and the power of testimony, that we overcome the enemy. So the power of the blood is Jesus, is his power, and by the word of our testimony, as we proclaim Jesus as Lord, and we share the things that he's done in our life, there is power. And I don't know about you, but when I hear someone's story and I hear someone's testimony about what God's done in their life, I get really inspired. And it increases my faith, and I think, wow, yeah, God can do this, can't he? When I hear a story like 12 girls became Christians on Monday night, I'm going, yeah, praise God. That's what we're about, isn't it? And that's why it's really important that we share our stories, we share testimonies with each other, because it increases the sort of faith rises in us when we share those stories. And for Dave, what he's saying is, I fought the lion and I fought the bear. He's saying, as God came through for me then, and then he came through for me in this situation, he'll do it now. He's saying, every time there's something happens in your life, it becomes an opportunity for the baseline of faith to increase. When the bear came, David was probably a bit scared, but he fought it and he thought, you know what, actually, I can fight bears now. That's fine. Then when the lion came, he went, well, I've got a baseline of God's worked in the past for me, so I'll try a lion now. It's a baseline. So when he comes to the Goliath, he's going, well, what's the difference? God's done it in the past for me. He'll do it again. And so don't try and think that there's a difference in the size of the situation you're facing for how much God can come through for you. If you pray, actually, you're in need of £5, and suddenly £5 comes through your letterbox. Brilliant. Then when you face cancer, go, okay, God, you came through for me in that situation, you come through for me in this situation. It's no different. If you can do it for that, you can do it for this. What David is saying is, it doesn't matter what the enemy is, it doesn't matter what the challenge is, God's still bigger than that situation. So set your baseline on going, you've done it before, you'll do it again. And that's the power of testimony, because it's saying, God, you did it in the past, you'll do it for me again. And when you go through a really horrible, horrible time, the problem is when you're going through a horrible time, all you can see is your circumstances. And what testimony does is going, and God always says in the Old Testament, he says to the people of God all the time, remember your story. Remember how I came through for you in the past. And so it's saying, well, God, actually, you've come through for me in the past. You're with me in the hard times in the past. You'll come through for me again in this situation. The power of testimony. Reminding yourself that God is able and he does come through. David's lap. An enemy of God is an enemy of God. Whether that's a sickness, whether that's a circumstance, whether that's a person, whether that's a situation that you're in, doesn't matter what it is. If it's an enemy of God, it's an enemy of God. And we face it the same way by saying, God goes before me in this situation. And then we get to our next point, which is this. Worship is warfare. Now, let me clarify that for you. When David goes out to fight Goliath, he says to the enemy, "You come against me. You come against me with sword, spear, and javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. He's saying, I choose to honor God. I choose to declare God's name in this situation. I declare to use the worship of God as my authority and power. That I declare him as Lord over this situation. And that you are against what God is for. So in your life, where are the things where a challenge is coming against you, where it's against what God is for? It could be sickness. It could be a circumstance. It could be a person you're struggling with. It's going, if it's against the purposes of God, then declare God's sovereign authority over it by declaring him Lord over a situation. And that is worship. But worship isn't just declaring Jesus as Lord. Worship is a lifestyle of saying that Jesus is Lord over all aspects of my life. That I put him first in everything. That I declare him Lord over everything in my life. And the thing about David is he chooses to step out in what he believes. He steps out in what he believes. And that's worship. Worship is saying, I declare God as Lord, even when times where actually my life doesn't feel like that. I still declare it. I still proclaim it. I step out into the truth of what I believe. So we could change that there for worship is warfare. Simply this. Belief shapes behavior. David knew in his heart that God was the God of Israel, that he is the God who had the ability to defeat Goliath. He knew all that, and we all know that. And we're in a situation that's just really hard. We know that God has power over it, but it doesn't feel like it sometimes. But what David does, though, is he puts his belief into action. He put legs on it. He steps into the ring and says, okay, there's a giant out there. I'm going to step up to that giant, and I'm going to declare the lordship of God over this situation. I'm going to declare God as Lord over this situation. I'm going to stand in the power and authority that I have as being a child of God. You see, he knows his identity, and he knows his opponent's identity. He says to Goliath, well, he says to the people about Goliath, who is this uncircumcised man who comes against God? What does that mean? Well, circumcision is a symbol and a sign of the covenant promise that people are under as Jewish people in the Old Testament. He says, this person isn't part of the promises of God, whereas I am. And therefore, I can stand strong on the power and authority and the promises of God's covenant in my life. And so he knows who he is, and he knows what his enemy is. The enemy isn't part, hasn't got power, hasn't got authority, because they're not part of the covenant of God. And so he steps out into a situation where he says, I know who I am. I come in my vulnerability. I come just as I am, knowing that I'm a child of God. And I know that this is an enemy of God who has no power and authority over me, because I have the whole army of God at my disposal in a situation. As we've been talking about these last few weeks, about the idea of when you come into your tabernacle, into that, when you put the prayer shawl over your head, it becomes a room or the storehouse of heaven. It's saying all of heaven is open to you when you know who you are in him. When you know who you are in Christ, when you cover yourself in that identity, all of heaven is available to you. And David knows that as he walks out onto the battlefield, even though he just sees him and Goliath, he knows that the armies of God are with him. Know that God is with you in each circumstance. So be someone who is authentically simple in your identity with Jesus. Let that be your influence hold to the story of God and go, God, what's my part in the story that you are writing at this moment in time? Understand the power of your testimony. When was the last time God did something incredible in your life? When was the last time you put your faith in him to believe for something incredible? It's a question for us to ponder on. Do we really put our faith and trust in him? Do we really believe that? Are we going to be people who recognize that we need to step into this behavior of faith, step into this power, step into this authority? Because the question I want to leave you this morning is, where is your front line? Where is your battlefield this day? Where is the place where the rubber hits the road? And you need to say, actually, I'm going to put legs on this faith. It's all well calling yourself a Christian. It's another thing actually living as a Christian. And too many of us live declaring we're Christians, but not living like it. Not letting God's power influence our life. Not letting God's power impact who we are at that deepest core of our soul and identity. And it's saying, no, it's time to strip off ill-fitting garments. Go out as who you are. Because the more authentic you are to who you are, the more you say, I have nothing, I have no armor. God says, the more I can work. Because the more you have to trust in me. And when you trust in me, the more I can do. Where's your front line? Where's the place where actually God needs to start moving boundary lines? Where is the place where your giant is this day? The challenge that you're facing? Where is the place where actually you need to do some battle? Maybe something you've been avoiding and putting off. And you're going, actually, no, it's time to step into this and say, actually, I believe this to be true. Where is the place where actually you need to be sharing your faith? In your workplace or with your family or with your neighbours? Where is the place where you're going to step into? So the question is this, where is your front line? Where's the place where your faith hits reality? Where's the place where actually, not in your nice small group, not in your church, not in your Christian family, but where is the place where the rubber hits the road in your life? Where's the place where you're choosing to step into the power and authority of Jesus? Where is it where you're choosing to step into a place of faith? Because I've mentioned this before, but if we're not following Jesus, we're not taking steps towards Jesus, we're standing still. And it's not about being a people who stand still. When we stand still, we take no ground, and we never grow. As Christians, we are called to keep taking steps of faith. Move that baseline further and further forward, so actually we become more and more people who are secure in our identity and secure in the power and authority that's behind us when we go into a situation. Where is the place where your faith needs to increase? Where's the place where you need a salvation in your workplace? Praying for a neighbor who's really unwell. Wherever it might be, that's where the rubber hits the road. Are you going to shy away when someone says, actually, I'm a bit unwell today? And you go, okay, that's nice, I'll pray for you. Or are we going to go, okay, I'm going to pray for you? You see, it's always easy to pray for someone when they're not there. But it's time as a church to start being people who go, okay, we'll do it now then. Now is the moment. Now is the time. Because it's where the rubber hits the road. This isn't nice in church Christianity. This is reality on the streets, wherever we are, being people who are saying, this is my front line. This is where there is a battlefield. And I want that to be moved. And every time you take a step forward with Jesus and you put your faith more in him, your baseline increases and what you're able to believe for is ever bigger. And it says in the Bible about that if you're faithful in the small things, he'll give you big things to be faithful over. So if you're faithful with little decisions that you make, he'll give you much more bigger decisions to be faithful over. So it hasn't got to be fighting a massive giant this day. That might be what you're facing right now. It could be a choice to say, actually, I'm going to talk to my neighbor with the intention of being Jesus. I'm going to go into work tomorrow with the intention of I'm doing this for Jesus, not for me. This could be the intention of saying, I'm going to talk to particular people and make sure that I'm supporting them to be Jesus to them. It's saying, what are you going to do? How are you going to position yourself on a front line? Where for you is it where the rubber meets the road? Because it's not good enough for us as a people of God to come to church and go, that's enough. It's not. If what happens here doesn't impact you from your Monday, Saturday, this is pointless. And we come here and it's useless. It's just like dirty rags before God. Because it's like we're saying one thing, Jesus, you are Lord. Send your power. Show your power. Change the atmosphere. And yet we're not prepared to do anything about it. Because we want God to do it all on our behalf. And we don't want to be involved at all. And God's saying, I am inviting you to be involved with the situation. If you're not living your life as a Christian, always slightly terrified, like sort of edge of crying, going, oh! Put yourself in a situation where God's got to come through for you, we're doing something wrong. We've retreated back into comfort zone rather than into taking ground. God is for you, not against you. What is this giant, this uncircumcised giant who comes against the armies of God? Who is he? In the name of Jesus. We say no. He is not for us. He is against us. And if he's against us, he's against God. Get some confidence from that. Get some excitement from that. So know your simple identity as a child of God. Wear one cloak wherever you go. One cloak, one identity. And when you do that, the world around you will start changing. And your front line, your battle line will be moved. And your baseline of faith will increase. And you'll start seeing incredible things. Don't get satisfied with a small miracle. Expect something even bigger. My prayer for this church, I'm praying at the moment, I've been praying this for the last 3 weeks, is we would have explosive growth. I don't mean that because I want to be a big church so we look great. It's because I desperately want people to know Jesus. And isn't it incredible? We've been praying that and we've been seeing people coming to faith left, right and centre. But great, we've had over the course of the last umpteen days, we've had sort of 14 people come to faith. Great. It's not enough though. Woo. But where's the rest? Do you know what I mean? We get satisfied with going, oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? And it is wonderful. What I'm saying is, but it's saying, don't let that be your base. Let that be your baseline for the next miracle to happen. I want to come back next week and hear we've had another, like 25 people come to faith this week. And we can have that 100 people come to faith that week. What I'm saying is don't be satisfied with the small miracle. Expect to take on giants. And if you're not taking on a giant right now, where is there one that you can take on? Or are you living in the retreat of going, oh, is this just comfortable Christianity over here? Because when you're comfortable, what happens is you become lazy and you become moany. Because it becomes about this. And this is not what our faith is about. Our faith is about the world being transformed by the love of Jesus. So when you're with someone who's getting a bit moany, just say to them, what giant are you facing right now? Because that will shut them up. Because it's saying, no. You're whinging about something which is so minuscule in comparison to what we're meant to be doing as the people of God. So what giant are you going to take on this day? You might be facing one right now. Praise God. Like David, I come as I am. I'm not trying to be anything special. I am just a boy with a stick and a sling, but I have God on my side. You haven't got to try and be a better Christian. You've just got to be a more authentic person before Jesus. Get your heart right. David's heart was right, and that gave him the courage to go forward. Get your heart right with God, because that's where the power and authority lies. Be loved by him, and that's where the power and authority lies. It's not you trying to be a better Christian. It's about you trying to love God more. And let his love influence your life. So be encouraged and go in power in the one identity that you have. Go and take on some giants. Go and declare the lordship of Jesus over situations. And let's expect big things. Not for our glory, but for his glory. His glory. Let's not get satisfied with where we are. Let's not get satisfied with small victories. Let's pray for big victories. Let's take on some giants. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you'd help us be a people who wear that one cloak, where Jesus says you go out in power and authority to take on the powers of darkness. And he says, take nothing else with you for the journey. Just take your one identity and me. Thank you, Lord, that the gospel is that simple. That what we are called to do as Christians is that simple. Just to walk forward with you. Let's wear one identity. Let's be influenced by one thing, which is you. Let's have influence in this world to be salt and light. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people who know the story that God is for us, not against us. That we'd use the power of our testimony to take on the enemy and go, God, you've done it in the past, you'll do it again. And we would be a people who use worship as our warfare, that as we live a lifestyle of worship before you. That'd be like warfare standing against the enemies of God. Lord, I pray that we'd be encouraged and empowered to take on giants in this day. Let's not be settled and satisfied for anything less than something incredible that you can do in and through us. Lord, get our hearts right with you. So when our heart is right, everything else becomes possible because you are the God of the impossible. Amen.
God gave me this verse again. And if this isn't David, I don't know what is. I won't go into all the details. This is my commandment. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I've held on to that with all my being. And every day is a bonus. So don't forget, he's there with you, whatever you're facing.
Thank you, Carol.
David went out as one man to defeat Goliath. Imagine if all the people of God there had the same attitude as David. What would have happened that day? What would happen if all of us start believing the truth of who we are in Jesus and what that means and the impact it would have upon the kingdom of darkness? Jesus uses 12 guys to change the face of the planet. There's more than 12 of us in here. Will we be prepared to step into and say yes to Jesus? Or are we going to stand on the sidelines and just expect other people to do it for us? It's time to get in the race. It's time to start running forward. It's time to take steps of faith. And it's time to start believing that what we believe is true and therefore start to live a lifestyle of worship that is warfare into the kingdom of darkness.